Well, by a coincidence of lectionary, we have the same gospel reading today that we had yesterday on the fourth Sunday of Advent. So instead today, I'd like to look at our first reading, the Song of Songs. And particularly, we see in this reading, often given at weddings, to speak of the great love of God for us as a married relationship. But particularly, one thing that sticks out today: for see, the winter is past. The rains are over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. And the time of pruning the vines has come. The song of the dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs. The vines bloom and give forth fragrance. We see here, the winter is past. And we see the signs of spring. Now, it's interesting because today, over the next 24 hours, is the winter solstice, in which we have the darkest day of the year. The day where the season of winter officially begins, and we have the least amount of light, and darkness has the greatest take over the hours of the day. Now, we read recently in the Topeka Capital Journal, that isn't this great because all the pagans celebrate the winter solstice. It's kind of interesting that we have to find pagans around to interview to celebrate, and they've got their own little group of people that worship the earth, and they're rejoicing, it said in the paper, for the return of the sun god. Very interesting idea. And then, as if we can't quite talk about the winter solstice without Christmas, they point out how Christmas all really just came from celebrations of the winter solstice anyway. Well, obviously, as Christians, we should immediately understand that that's not true. There are a couple of things to clear up here. One, it is true that at the winter solstice, there is a theological fittingness that it is the darkest time of the year, and Jesus is born precisely at that time when the light is just starting to return and grow again. Each day it will get longer and longer, and the sun gets brighter and brighter. That is fitting, theologically, but it's not as though Christmas was chosen arbitrarily as some coincidence with the winter solstice to say, wouldn't that be a great idea? Why don't we put the birth of Jesus at that time? Or worse yet, as the papers and the pagans will often claim, that it's really their holiday in the first place, and we Christians just kind of like the idea of what they were doing, so we kind of, instead of letting them worship the returning sun, we created this idea of why don't we celebrate the birth of the Son of God at that same time, and that way we can kind of take over the pagan feast and make it a Christian feast. That's kind of how the pagan secular reasoning goes. However, it is a little bit unknown exactly how the date of Christmas got to be December 25th, but whatever truth there is, first of all, to the idea that we took over a pagan holiday, well, now that is true and it's not true. It is true in history that oftentimes we have been able to take celebrations that were going on amongst people who had never heard of Christ before and baptize them, so to speak. We speak to some of the truth that is there. Is there a truth that it is good to celebrate the return of the sun? Well, yes. The light is a great image of God and His presence, and Jesus is the light of the world. So to some extent, the pagans who worship the sun are just less educated. They don't understand what is really being worshipped there. It's kind of that primitive form of religion that is yet to be enlightened with knowledge about what is going on. They see a natural sign and they are filled with wonder that the sun returns. And so they rightfully sense this is a religious kind of thing. This points to something just beyond ourselves. We're not in charge of the sun. And there was a celebration of the sun's return. It's not going to go away forever. All right, what we need then is knowledge and revelation to speak to that and say, it's not just about that. Let me tell you what it really means and give the full explanation. That's one thing to keep in mind. Could we take over some of the good that we see in Return of the Son? Yes, we can take that and use that to help, you know, us understand Jesus. But it's important to understand also that the date of Christmas was also maybe not fixed anything to do with the winter solstice. In fact, another theory, and there's good evidence for this too, is that long before we celebrated the birth of Christ, we celebrated his incarnation. And when is the feast of the incarnation of the Son of God? March 25th, the celebration of the Annunciation. And there is good evidence to point that that feast day existed long before Christmas. That March 25th was seen as the date that Jesus not only was conceived, but also the date that he died. And it was believed that very important figures died on the same date that they were born. Now, ordinarily, we can't tell when someone becomes a person because we don't see them in the world until they're born. But with Jesus, we knew exactly when he came to exist. It was at the moment that Mary said yes to the angel Gabriel. And so from very early in Christianity, March 25th was observed as the date of Jesus' death on the Passover, but also the date of the Annunciation in which the Word became flesh and dwelt in Mary. So with March 25th being fixed, first of all, how do we get the date of Christmas? 9 months later is December 25th. And that is then how December 25th was chosen for the date of Christmas, having nothing to do with the winter solstice. Although it fit nicely and the church was able to use that. What we should most of all keep in mind is that Jesus Christ, God incarnate, is the Lord of all times and seasons. And so we need to help those who continue to in ignorance, look at the earth and wonder. We need to help bring the gospel to them so they can see who actually made the earth, who made the seasons and the times in the first place, and then take what is good. The way our society is able to worship certain things in the place of God, take what is good and help them to see the real God. So we do celebrate that the sun returns today. We celebrate that soon the winter will be past, both spiritually and in our natural sense. We also note the great importance of the fact that if Jesus' incarnation was celebrated on March 25th, that means clearly, from the very early, early days of the church, we understood that life begins at conception. That was never a doubt for Christians, because we celebrated that Jesus became man on the day he was conceived in Mary. And we see the beautiful example of the visitation today in which John the Baptist, who is not yet born, is not only fully human, but fully able to respond to God's grace and leaps for joy at the presence of Jesus. So we also are mindful of the very troubling things going on in the United States Senate, in which unfortunately they passed out a pro-abortion bill last night for health care. We pray that Mary's intercession, Our Lady of the Visitation, may help spare us in the end, that we can still have the good language from the House of Representatives to limit abortion in this bill. So we pray that that might be a good gift at Christmas, that we can too have great joy to know that the winter is past. And indeed, we need signs of springtime, both in our natural world, but in the spiritual world. So we pray for that today. We pray that we might continue to prepare on this winter solstice for the coming of spring, but for the return of the real Son, the Son of God, at Christmas.